Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I've come to tell you we're going to make it in Ephesians. I'm going to just preach somewhere in Ephesians, probably end up in chapter 6, but somewhere in there God will say a few things if we'll let Him. That little church epistle, that little book of Ephesians. But I'm here to tell you we're going to make it. And I'm going to tell you how we're going to make it. I got three little old thoughts on my heart. I'm telling you, I'm enjoying the wind blowing here. Hey, man, Brother Jeff, you told about being taught. I'm glad you're still teaching. What you been taught? I appreciate a man to get off a piano, slang a microphone, and spin in a circle. Hey, man. If I was able, I'd walk a pew, I'd take a lap, but I barely can walk. Huh? Somebody said, oh, let me tell you, if we're not careful, church, we'll lose our fire, we'll lose our zeal, we'll lose our excitement. I was sitting on the edge of the bed the other day. All this sickness and death invading us in our church. People just think they don't care about church like they used to. And Becca said, honey, said, what's the matter? Said, are you all right? She knowed something was bothering me. And the Holy Ghost let me pick my head up. I said, I tell you what, Mama, they may not be as near as many interested in old-time religion as it seemed it used to be. But I said, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to report to where God called me. God called me to the pulpit. Somebody help me. He didn't call me to fill the pew. He didn't call Brother Barker to fill the pew. He called us to fill the pulpit. And except he build the house, how they labor in vain. Ain't you glad we ain't laboring in vain tonight? I'm reporting to duty. Ain't you glad you came to your spot and you're reporting to duty? And you say, yes, Lord, here I am. Hallelujah. I want to encourage every one of you, from the youngest member to the oldest member. And I know I'm going to get in trouble for what I'm about to say. And if there's any visitors here and you go to a dead, dried up church that ain't got no Holy Ghost, you ought to just go ahead and get out of there. I know ain't nobody want to hear that. I ain't got but two or three friends and I may lose him before the night's over. Amen. Before I'd go to a dead, dried up, deacon run, committee run, a family run church, I know I ought not say this, but I feel like I'm at home. I'd soon get a pack of red men and a Zebco 33 and go to the creek bank. Hallelujah. I gotta go where God is. Hallelujah. I'm sorry to hire a lip and hurt you right there, but I ain't nothing no worse than hearing a 400-pound preacher get up and preach on tobacco in North Carolina. Hey, let me tell you how I learned that. 15-year-old preacher boy, Gospel View Baptist Church, and Brother Sizemore here in Dobson. I was a preacher boy. Y'all with me? I couldn't even drive up here. Had to get drove up here. You don't preach on tobacco in Dobson, North Carolina. Hallelujah. Somebody help me. I learned that the hard way. Man shook my hand in the back of the door. He made hundreds of thousands upon hundreds of thousands of dollars growing tobacco. And the preacher enjoyed the tithe off the tobacco that was grown. Somebody help me. I was at Bones 13 today and they had a bacon burger with tobacco sauce on it. I just almost bought it because it said tobacco sauce. Hallelujah. Now, it didn't say Tabasco. It said tobacco. Hallelujah. T-O-B-A-C-C-C-C-C-I. Hallelujah. I ain't making this up. I was standing at the door and they're all coming out and one deacon shook my hand. He said, I'll tell you something, sonny. He said, I make a living on raising tobacco. In other words, what he said is that's about the pitifulest preaching I'd ever did here. Amen. That happened over there for Brother Sizemore and I was just a 15-year-old boy. Hey, man, are y'all all right? Don't die on me now. God moved me to Indiana to take my first church in Shepherd Fold Baptist Church in Canton, Indiana. I lived across the Ohio River in a 26-foot Terry camper. Took a church in August of 95, 97, and wasn't even married. What about that? Hello? And guess where I worked in them fields in Kentucky? On the Backer farm. I planted Backer. Oh, yeah, I staked Backer. I hung Backer. I bailed Backer. Hey, put my young little old hind end up in the top of that Backer barn. Are y'all hearing me? And chucking them leaves as I hanging them over them big old rails in that little Backer. Yeah, don't y'all tell nobody I worked in the Backer farm. I done it all. I mean, you better be careful with smoking that stuff. It'll cross your eyes. That's all right. Don't y'all die on me now. Now, I was by that old timer, and we was a bailing that Backer with them big metal straps, and he was a chewing that stuff. He said, Sonny, he said, you ever chewed any Backer? I was a Christian, you know. I didn't smoke or chew. I know I ain't read the Bible yet, but we're doing pretty good, and I'm feeling pretty good about it. I said, I don't smoke or chew or run with those who do. Sorry, you need to turn the TV off or whatever that is. Well, there's a little camera. Hello, y'all. Hey, man. And he said, Sonny, you need a good worming. He said, put that leaf in your mouth. It turned me inside out and green. You hear me? And I prayed to God if he'd ever help me to get over that. I never would take that no more. And I didn't tell the Lord I'd take any of that processed tobacco anymore. Sorry, Brother Barker, don't tell nobody you know me and you'll be all right. I didn't say, Lord, now we ain't going to deal with that processed tobacco. I said, but that raw tobacco, we're going to leave it alone. Amen. Oh, my Lord. I'm glad God will overlook a bunch of our ignorance. Somebody help me. I was a young novice preacher boy. My preacher had been justified to put me on the back row for 2 years probation. You hear me? But I'm glad he loved me, and I'm glad I'm glad your daddy put his hands on me. As a young boy, I want to say, by the way, I ain't changed in my thoughts, process of preaching in the Holy Ghost, but I've quit a lot of that nonsense. Somebody help me. Are y'all with me? I'm glad God's helping me. I'd be a Bible preacher, not an opinionated preacher. And so any young preacher here, don't preach on tobacco in North or South or Georgia or Alabama or anywhere in the United States of America. Especially if you weigh 412 pounds. Somebody say amen. I ain't started my timer, and that ain't good. But I'm just so glad to be here. I hate to see it come to an end. And what are you doing? I just been exhorting because the winds are blowing down in my soul. Huh? And I'm glad to see all of you in here. I just want to help you tonight. I want to tell you we're going to make it. And I want to show you how we're going to make it. That little old book, can I just kind of outline it real quick? I need about 7 weeks to preach what I'm tackling tonight. But I'm glad there's some doctrine in this little book of Ephesians. You'll find the first 3 chapters is filled with doctrine. You better be glad you got a preacher tonight that's not running from doctrine. That he'll take his time on Sundays and Wednesdays and say, we're just going to plow in the Bible and we're going to lay some doctrine out. Amen. I'm glad for Bible doctrine. Doctrine does separate, but it does deliver. And when you get rooted and grounded in doctrine, there'll be a duty and a doing that you feel responsible and obligated to fulfill. You know why we got so many churches, they don't feel no obligation or no duty? It's because they ain't got no doctrine. Are y'all with me? I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. I'm not ashamed to be an old-timey King James Bible-believing Holy Ghost preacher. I'm not mad about it neither. Down south, there's a lot of people, they're not ashamed, but they're mad about it. I ain't mad about it. I'm glad. I'm glad we sang them old songs. Somebody help me. I'd like to talk it all over. Oh, Oh, can I tell you, I'm going to one day. But can I tell you, I did this morning. Hey, I had a communion with him, and I told him my heart. I told him my head. I told him about all my problems. And guess what? He's helping me, and he'll help you if you just tell him. Hallelujah. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. At 4, 5, and 6 is a doing and a duty. At chapter 1 through chapter 3, we're wealthy. We've got some wealth. Are y'all hear me? We're rich. You're rich in this if you'll just go get in it. In chapter number 1, there's a believer's possession. In other words, there's a blessing you and I'll have. It'll never be depleted. Somebody said, what's a blessing? I could show you in verse number 5 of chapter 1 that there's a relationship with a family. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what are your family talking about? Y'all my family whether you want to be or not. You know why you're my family? It's because we've all been adopted. Hey! Every one of you in here that ever been born again, guess what? We're a bunch of adopted children. And you'll look down on somebody that's been adopted. But if you'll ever study the law of adoption, you'll turn a pew over in here and run and take a lap. If you've ever been adopted, guess what? I can't never get rid of you. Hey, man, I could get rid of my own. But if I'd adopted one, I can't get rid of them. I'm glad we're a bunch of adopted orphans in here. And by the way, I'm no longer an orphan. Hallelujah. I'm a child of the King. I'm bought with a price. I'm born again. Are you glad you're saved? Are you glad you're in church? Aren't you glad you're in your right mind? Hey, there's a relationship with the family. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't chill out. I'm going to have another heart attack. I don't even know where I'm at right now. I can show you, not only is there a family relationship, but there's a favored relationship. I've not only been adopted, but I've been accepted in verse number 6. What about that, old mater? I'm accepted. What about that? Have y'all ever not been accepted? Let me tell you, a hard pill to swallow is when you're preaching somewhere in your revival and about Tuesday night and you're supposed to be there all week long and they say, well, Brother John, I think I made a mistake. And I believe you just need to go on home because we're kind of taking a little different detour. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, just a handful of times. It ain't happened much. Huh? But it has happened. You want me to tell you, a hard pill to swallow is getting your car. Now, Brother Barker, I didn't get in there and say, glory to God. I'm glad I'm bearing in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I didn't jump up and down and say, whoopee, they run me off. I cried all the way home. I fought more devils than you could imagine. I asked God what I was doing wrong. But every time I've ever been asking God what I was doing wrong, guess what? I was doing right. Amen. Most of the time, if you're saying, God, am I in your will? Lord, help me. Am I doing wrong? 90% of the time, it's the flesh in your head. It's the work of the devil trying to devour you. Because every time that I've ever done wrong, the Lord, I didn't have to ask him if I was doing wrong. He let me know. So if you're asking if you're doing wrong, probably you're doing right. Amen. Amen. I got to slow down. I'm confusing my own self. Hey, man. And this is Holy Ghost. If y'all knew me, I can't even think his face. I couldn't talk his face if we was carrying on a conversation. Are you hearing me? Matter of fact, I'm sitting over by you watching all this. Hallelujah. Huh? You say you really are. I really am. I'm glad I'm drunk on some new wine. Amen. And be not drunk with wine, where in excess, but be you filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I know something about the Holy Ghost. Amen. Verse number 7 in chapter 1. He's a relationship dealing with forgiveness. You ever get a hold of your favored? We're family. And you're forgiven. Why? Because there's an atonement. There's an atonement. You're forgiven. I don't care how. Let me just go ahead and refresh your little old memory. Ain't nobody in here knows you like you. Your spouse don't even know you like you know yourself. And the devil will tell you everybody knows how bad you are. Well, let me tell you something. We're all a bunch of wicked, ungodly sinners that ought to be in hell. But I got good news for you. I've been forgiven. Hallelujah. You go ahead and hold up my past over my head. And the devil will remind you how bad you've been. But tell him, praise God, you ain't that man no more. You're not doing that sin no more. Honey, you've been forgiven. Hallelujah. And that's in verse number 7. Verse number 8 and 9. Y'all just write it down. Go read it for yourself. There's a relationship dealing with the fullness of God. Don't quite understand all of that. Huh? But there is some abounding. There is some things that has abounded, wherefore, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. There's that little word prudence again. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. I'm going to tell you something. We got all we need. You got what you already need. You just need to activate what you got. I ain't going to re-preach Wednesday night. But then in verse number 10 and 11, we find out he's a relationship dealing with a future. Oh, ages to come. Listen, me and my wife's driving over here. I'm honest to God. I'm sad about leaving. I just love you, and I mean that. If you just knew my heart. And I'm looking forward to going home, getting in my bed. It's a bittersweet. I just told Beck, I said, out of all these places we go, I'm just drawn here, okay? I'm drawn to you, dear people. God done something with us in the heart of his bride up here. Are you hearing me? And I'm a leaving, Brother Jonathan. But guess what? We're going to spend together forever. Amen. And you go ahead and have preeminence over me right now. I'm going to have preeminence over you in eternity. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. That makes me think about Colossians chapter 1, about the preeminence of Christ. Amen. And by the way, ain't you glad that we make him preeminence around here? Ain't you glad that the cross is preeminence, huh? Ain't you glad that we make Christ preeminence over creation? Are y'all hearing me? Oh, thank God that he is the creator of all. That's in Colossians 1. He is the preeminent Christ. He is the preeminence over the cross. He's the preeminence over creation. And he's the preeminence over the church. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad that the supreme authority of the church is the Lord? Hallelujah. Well, I don't know where that come from, and I hope that was Colossians. I believe it is. If it ain't, it's somewhere in those church epistles. Hallelujah. It's in those Pauline epistles, but I believe it's Colossians 1 about the preeminence of Christ and the creation and the church and the cross. Are you hearing me? There's a relationship. We're going to heaven together. Huh? We're going to have just one big meeting. Don't let this mess your little theology up. We're all going to get there the same day. What about that, Brother Josh? In my little old peanut of a mind, I'm thinking old grandma and grandpa sitting over in a chair waiting on me. Well, they probably not. Amen. Because there is no night there, and we're going to all get there the same day. Hallelujah. And it ain't going to be like, where you been? We're just going to go, woo, hallelujah. I mean, the first half a million years, I'm just going to be glad I made it. Y'all don't act like I'm the only one in here like that. I done been down to death's door a time or two, and I was wondering where the dying grace of God was. And I found out I didn't need it because I didn't die. And y'all been wondering about the dying grace. Quit worrying about dying grace. It's the grace that's only going to need one time. I need grace to live. Somebody help me. But the grace of dying that I'm going to need, Brother Barker, I'm only going to need it one time. Oh, hallelujah. And when I need it, I'm glad it'll be there. Just like His grace has been with me all these years for living grace, I'm glad there will be dying grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Where are we at now? In chapter 2, chapter 1, not only is there a wealth, there's a walk in chapter 4 and 5. I don't know where we're at. Chapter 2, there's a position we have as a believer. There's a building that'll never be destroyed. I believe it's Ephesians 2. We're fitly framed together, about 20 and 21 and 19 and 22. We're building together. These privileges as a believer in chapter number 3. What's them privileges? There's a brotherhood. That'll never be dissolved. Are y'all not tired of the brethren of fussing and a fighting? I'm glad we got to have them. We ain't going to have no separation amongst the brethren. Amen. And you better be careful what wagon you're jumping on to. Because the church, you better find a man that's in love with the church that ain't robbing the church. Yeah. Let me run me a real quick rabbit. You better find a man in chapter 4 and verse number 1 that'll walk worthy of the vocation of where he's called. Look in verse number 17. You better find a man that'll not walk as the other Gentiles, walking in the vanity of their mind. Are y'all seeing that? I'm just talking about how believers should walk. Look in chapter 5 and verse number 2. You better find a man that'll walk in love. Somebody help me. You better watch this crowd. At all they ever want to preach is love, love, love. You better be glad you got a man that'll preach reproof to you. Amen. I was talking to a man one time. I said, have you ever heard that man ever get up and just, I'm talking about rear back and preach against everything? We don't hear that no more, do we? Huh? We have preacher boys. I got a bunch of preacher boys. And I get up and I told them here not long ago, I said, boys, I want you to preach about 5 minutes. And I said, I don't want no little positive preaching. I said, I don't want to hear about the woman at the well, and I don't want to hear nothing about being saved. I said, I want to hear what y'all are against. Y'all heard that. We come up with stuff that night. I didn't even know that I should be against it. I mean, I'm sorry, Brother Barker. I'm Preacher Barker, both of y'all. I mean, I got Brother Jonathan and then Dr. Barker back here. I did. I told them preacher boys, I said, I want y'all to get up. I said, I'm giving y'all. He says, on Wednesday. I said, Sunday night. I said, we're going to have popcorn preaching. And I said, I want to hear everything y'all are against. And I said, if y'all ain't against nothing, you got about 3 or 4 days to find something to get against. Are y'all okay? Y'all know what hour we're living in. Ain't nobody against nothing no more. I done found out y'all ought to heard me 31 years ago. Huh? Are y'all hearing me? I can't even tell y'all what all I was preaching against. I found out I was a dummy. But if I hadn't have been against something, are y'all with me? I'd have never been for something. Are y'all with me? You let God take that preacher boy and he'll straighten him out and clean him up. I've never seen so much a bunch of little old liberal preachers in all my life. Hey, I'm telling you, can I just speak my heart here? They couldn't preach their way out of a wet paper bag, and half of you little old whippersnappers don't even know what a paper bag is. Huh? These Walmart plastic bags, you got a triple layer of them just to carry a gallon of milk out. Y'all know I'm right. I went to some grocery store today. You had to carry your own bag and a quarter to buy a buggy. I said, under God, what's that all about? I said, it's cheap. I said, it must be. They ain't even got bags to put your groceries in. They all got out of the car toting empty bags. Looked like a bunk of go rob a bank. Amen. Said, you got to have a quarter to get a buggy. I'd tell them what they can do with their buggy. I'm in there buying their food. Give me my buggy. Give me my pill or I'm going to die. Yeah. Y'all watched Andy Griffin. This is where he lived. Hallelujah. Huh? What was her name? They didn't give her a little sugar pill and she's going to die. Y'all know that episode. Huh? Yeah. If I ever have a Bible college, I'll have a 30-minute episode of Andy Griffin. And I'll have a 30-minute episode of Rawhide. You can learn more from them than you can have these little preachers. Trail Boss, he'd make a good pastor. Hey, man, I know my sugar's high, and it's your preacher's fault. Hey, man, I ain't took no cough medicine yet, somebody say. We was talking about walking. Look in chapter 5 and verse 8. You better find a man that'll walk as a children of light. I believe there's a fifth one. Yeah, in verse number 15, you better walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. This is how we're going to make it. How we're going to make it. We're going to make it by walking right. Because there's privileges in chapter 3 and chapter 4. There's a progression in chapter 4. There's a body, hallelujah, that'll never die in chapter 4. Chapter 5, there's a bride. Oh, glory to God, that'll never be divorced. There's a bride that'll never be divorced. You can't get divorced from him. Hallelujah, glory to God. That's enough to shout on half a night. Hey, man, I'm just loving this book of Ephesians. Been studying a lot here lately. I want to give you this little writing of Brother Ballou. Here's what he said, one of my heroes. He said, so many Christians live so subnormal that if any Christian dared to live the normal Christian life, they would think that he is abnormal. That's what Brother Blue said. Listen to what else he said. He said, when we learn how we sit, then our stepping and our standing will be much easier. What about that? Boy, y'all know Brother Blue, didn't you? One of my heroes, man. He come to our church often. I'm talking about monthly. And boy, I love him. And I've wrote a lot of things that he's wrote. He's been a mentor to me probably in the last 12 years prior to his death. And then in chapter number 5, we find this power we have as a believer. And I know we ain't got time to declare all this, but I hope y'all are maybe writing some notes of the Holy Ghost. It'll put some things in your heart. There's a power as a believer we have that we'll never be divorced. But then in chapter 6, there's a battalion that'll never be defeated. We're not going under. In chapter number 6, in this finding about a battalion that'll never be defeated, there is a protection that you and I have that this world don't have. And so how are we going to make it in 2022? How are we going to make it? How are we going to make it? I'm 20 minutes here plus whatever happened prior to this. Are we okay? I don't know to look at him or not. Are we okay, preacher man? He kind of looking bug-eyed and like his mouth hung open on the back of a motorcycle and he ain't in control of it, amen? And I know that look and know how it feels, and I hope I ain't destroying nothing for you. If I am, just I'll come back and help put it back together, amen? That verse number 10, finally, my brethren of chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse number 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. How are we going to make it? We're going to make it, but how are we going to make it? I want to say, number one, we're going to have to memorize the admonition. We're going to have to memorize our admonition. Let me tell you what me and you are full of today. Instead of admonition, we're full of ammunition. Everybody wants ammunition. I want it. Y'all, I don't know how the shelves look like up here, but back home, you can't find a .30-06 bullet nowhere. If I ever find them and they're $100 a box, I'm going to swipe Becca's credit card. Ruin her credit for a change. Somebody, hey, man. You can't find bullets nowhere. But I'll tell you where there's a lot of ammunition. It's on the pews and the pulpits of our churches. But instead of admonition, we need to memorize the admonition. Are you hearing me? You know what admonition does? It will reveal. It reveals things. It not only reveals things, but it requires things. There's a power in living for God. But it reveals that we have some armor. We need to memorize our admonition. You say, what are you saying? The Bible said to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition. Huh? God, help us to get a hold of what admonition is. It is godly counsel. It is godly instructions. It is godly discipleship. You know why we ain't got no disciples? Because ain't nobody discipling anybody. Let me tell you, some crowds I was raised around, that if you took a service, and way back yonder in the day, my preacher had what's called training union. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not, but training union started at 5:30. And it was like new beginners class. And you know, that's what really Sunday school served the purpose, if we could get them to come to Sunday school. Are y'all with me? Y'all still having Sunday school? That's dangerous to ask in the middle of preaching. I just thought, John, how ignorant that was. It'd have been bad if he'd have said, no, we ain't having Sunday school. Boy, I'd have been like a, y'all with me? My tongue would have probably swelled up so big I'd have had to quit talking. I'm really an idiot when you think about it, you hear me? I mean, why do you ask, how many of y'all ever asked dumb questions? That was a dumb question, preacher. I mean, I got a doctorate's degree, but I had to buy them. Somebody said, I got three more I was honored. They just didn't know what it was. Hello? I got so many degrees. I need to get right with God's what I need to do. I mean, that was very crazy to ask. Y'all have Sunday school? I'm fixing to chew Sunday school with boys that ain't having Sunday school. That boy had been bad, wouldn't it? Oh, me, if we'd get in Sunday school. And let me say something. Thank God for Sunday school. We're suffering with the 10, 11, 12-year-olds in Sunday school right now. The nursery is booming. I'm talking, we're averaging anywhere from 14 to 18 in the nursery right now. You want to talk about a wild class? And Bubba, I've just put him and his wife over that 7, 8, 9 crowd. Are y'all with me? 6, 7, 8, 9. And man, they're averaging 14, 16 kids. And you start giving them Capri Suns and Scooby-Doo cookies. Are y'all with me? It gets wild. And he's been preaching. And I had to teach it the other Sunday. And you can't hold their attention but 10 minutes. But you can do more in 10 minutes in the heart of a child. You better get them to Sunday school. But that 10, 11, 12-year-old class, man, we got one boy fixing to turn 13. And I found out we got another that come, and they just been dragging behind a little bit, not getting there on time. Don't do that to your kids. Don't do that to your kids. Get them in Sunday school. You hear me? Get them in Sunday school. Don't take this offensive, but Sunday school reality is more important than school. I know the educators are going to crucify me that. But Sunday school, now you got to have school, kids. Don't think I'm preaching against school. I hated school. I mean, I'm for homeschoolers, Christian schoolers, public schoolers, and no schoolers. I'm going to start me a school. No schoolers, Christian academy. We're going to play basketball the first hour, softball. Are y'all with me? I'm going to have a game room. I bet I'll have the largest paid Christian school in our county. No Schoolers Christians Academy, run and operated by Dr. John David Dorsey Sr. Give me a pen. I'm going to sign my own Bible. Hallelujah. I mean, we ought to charge admission for this tonight. Somebody say amen. Them other preachers are. I think I'm going to start charging. Bring all my crews in. Yeah. Move your car so I can park my... I'm going to get off of that. I'm sorry. Whoa, help me, Jesus. Sorry. I just had a blood sugar rise right there. Number two, how are we going to make it? We are going to make it. Not only are we going to memorize our admonition, but we need to recognize who our adversary is. You and I are not our adversary. My wife ain't even my adversary. She might beg the difference. She might say, I believe you're my adversary, honey. You're not my adversary. Church people, if you ain't careful, you'll get mad over some of the most. You know, something big happened, we'll get through some little old silly, ignorant. Y'all with me, just some little old, y'all know what I'm wanting to say? Y'all in the hills of North Carolina. Just ignorant. And we'll get sideways. This is no lies. A family called me the other day and said, "Are you mad at me, preacher?" I was driving down 140, about shot out. And I said, "No, I ain't mad at you. Why? We just passed you and you didn't wave at us." I said, "I didn't see you." "Well, you was looking right at me. How can you tell somebody's looking right at you at 65 miles an hour? Are y'all with me? I mean, you coming this way, I'm going that way. If y'all seen how this right eye was, they wouldn't nobody ride with me." And you know, I'm leaning more to the right these days. "And how can you see if somebody's looking at you?" Y'all know what I'm saying? How many times have y'all drove home from work and didn't remember the turns? And you pulled up at the house and you're like, "Whoa. How did this happen?" Come on. Are y'all with me? Every time Brother Jonathan gets in the car, it's like, you can't say nothing. Can I pause a minute and tell y'all something today? He scared the daylights out of me today. This is the last night. And if we get snowed in, what better crowd to get snowed in with? Y'all get snowed in with me, y'all get shovels and shovel my way out of here. Amen. He's on the phone. It's starting to rain. We're at a red light. He hits his hazard lights, gases it, whoops around in front of three cars, runs a red light, talking some all this number stuff, code 77-6983. Pinned in, racked up. Here we go. He didn't even acknowledge me. He left the world. He had two babies in the back. Had my bride in the middle and his. And my precious self was sitting in the passenger seat. Honest to God, I ain't making this up. I grabbed that handle. I grabbed that armrest. I throwed my right leg out. I said, "Hey, you need to slow down." He didn't hear it. Whoever is talking to him on the phone, I said it loud enough, I was hoping he'd hear it. Talking this code mess, I'm talking about we're passing cars, cars are getting off the road, and then this truck with lights behind us. I said, "There's somebody important behind you, sir." I said, "You need to let them over." I said, "They got them little lights flashing, you know, on the front of their truck, on the top of their truck, on the side of their truck." When people's like that, you know what normal drivers do? They get off the side of the road. Not him. He's racing the dude behind us. I ain't lying. That minivan, boom. I said, "You're gonna blow it up." Thermostat hands start going up. I'm charging admission for anybody to leave tonight. I'm enjoying my own preaching tonight. I ain't lying. My little old wife, Dynamite, comes in small packages, by the way. She throwed that leg down on the floor and she said, "Boy, this is what I've been looking for, some action." She's like, "Hold on, young'uns. Pour it to it, Jonathan." I turned around, I cussed her out, y'all hear me? I told them two girls in the back, I said, "Y'all put your fingers in your ears. You don't need to hear what I gotta say." I ain't lying. Well, I'm lying about the cussing part. Out loud, but I did in my heart and under my breath. You ought to heard Becca telling Bubba. She said, "Oh, Bubba," said, "your daddy was so scared. He was so scared," said, "but when it was all over with, he was acting all tough in front of Brother Jonathan." I'll admit I was scared. I done been through a windshield. I don't ever want to do that again. And then all of a sudden, he pushes the hazards off, slows down. And he's code so-and-so, something another's done left. And I said, "What?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "I don't understand a thing you said, but I want to hit you in the side of the head driving like that. Are y'all with me? But I had to preach this tonight because he's not my adversary. He's not my problem. He's Miss Leslie's problem." I'm sorry. I'll see y'all in heaven, I promise. Not only have we got I may not be able to reel this back. Amen. Not only we got to memorize our admonition, recognize our adversary, but watch this. We got to utilize our armor. Come up here and help me, sis. I ain't about to ask him if I can take the invitation. Just come up here and help me, sis. He told me to do what I wanted to. I'm fixing to vote on him out, and y'all going to vote me in. We'll send him to Georgia and let him deal with them bunch of quacks for a while, and I'll deal with you bunch of quacks for a while. Hey, man. And then y'all be glad to have him back. Hallelujah. Utilize our armor. I want to say something about our armor. Gun. I guarantee you that I could ask for a show of guns tonight, and y'all would, we could start a spawn shop here tonight. I could ask for who's got heat. I mean, there'd be women whooping out pocketbooks. And I know we've lived more than normal. I'm thinking about Mama Henderson. Y'all ever know the Hendersons? Patsy, you know she passed away. Did you know that Larry, her husband, just passed away last week? Mama Henderson's husband died, so it's just Robin now. And Mama Henderson, she'd come to our church frequently. She was in the parking lot of her minivan, and she always wore them old long cotton dresses. Y'all remember? And I said, Mama Henderson, I said, you packing? She said, I live in Alabama. And she took her leg, that long cotton dress down about her ankle. She picked that left leg up and took her dress and held it tight right there. And they was a hog leg strapped to her leg. She said, it's a Ruger, 9-inch barrel. She said, they don't nobody want to mess with Mama Henderson. I said, yes, ma'am. That's a true story. And I said, I'll turn my head. I want to see it. Then I turned my head, you know what I mean? And she pulled out that big blue Ruger, one of them that you flip the little side down to stick the bullet in. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And it was, you couldn't just keep pulling the trigger. You'd have to pull the hammer back. And she said, I'm in good. She said, but I pray I never have to use it. Y'all with me? A gun ain't never killed nobody. A gun ain't never wounded nobody. I need you to listen to me. I know them bunch of liberals will probably get after this if he puts this out, but it'll be all right. A gun ain't never hurt nobody. It's how they utilize their armor. A knife ain't never killed nobody. Knives and guns are not bad. It's bad people that's in control of the gun and knife. You better listen to me tonight. How are we utilizing our armor? If I went to get me a message to preach at you, I'm wrong. But if God gives me a message to preach for you, it's right. You see, I could take this tonight and hurt you by twisting it in a way that you would think, boy, this is positive living. In my day growing up, there was a lot of gunslingers. You know what we got today? They still shooting blanks, but it's full of liberalism. They're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And they're utilizing it wrong. I'm coming to an end. Watch this, and I'm closing. When we utilize our armor right, we discover a strength that is unmeasurable, a surety that is unapplaceable. You find out you got a pair of shoes like the world can't give. You'll have a shield that'll protect you from anything. You'll have a sword that'll reach as far as it needs to reach. But watch this. You'll have a secret to success that this world don't have. I'm closing. I've probably preached nearly an hour tonight, Brother Rodney. I don't know. But I'm leaving, and I want to see you again one day. And I appreciate how you sit on the edge of your pew. I'm talking about y'all grasp every word I said. But let me tell you what happens. You become familiar to his voice. I'm trying to quit. And you think it's just another sermon from Pastor. You need to come in here Sunday morning and get on the edge of your pew and say, God, let me hear what my man of God has for me. See, I've labored for you 3 days this week. And it'll be, if I ever come back, it'll be the only time I'll labor for you again. But he labors every day for you. Every day. And all he's trying to do is help you with your armor. Choir, when you get here Sunday, you sing like it's your last time to ever sing for God. You shout, you worship. And be glad you've got a preacher that's instructing you in godly counsel on how to use your armor. And that's how we're going to make it. That's how we're going to make it. So listen, you're all right. You're okay. This COVID, this society, you're okay. I don't mean to say it like I'm about to say it, but instead of trying to rehearse what we want again, let's enjoy living what we have. And if we never have a big meeting again, let's have a big meeting 3 times a week.